All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Shane, this is your first time here?
Yes, sir.
You're visiting?
Yes, sir.
Are you checking out churches?
Yes, sir.
All right, come back next week. Jim is speaking.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Okay, I'm just a visitor, so don't go by me. All right. Well, today I thought we'd talk a little bit about discipleship, and I thought, you know, I've seen a lot of books on discipleship. Have you seen those books? They say discipleship, and they're written by famous theologians, and it like got workbooks with them. People study them, and like I didn't do any of that. So I'm just going to tell you some of my thoughts on discipling and being a disciple. And I used a big book myself. It says Holy Bible on the front, and that's the only book I used on that. And so some of the thoughts, I had a reading up here, was the wrong one. Sorry, John. Sorry, John. But it was a good reading. And it was good scripture. The one I wanted to use is when Jesus went to Peter on the boat and he said, come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And that was where we got our first disciple of Jesus. But of course, before that, John the Baptist, he said that he had to shrink so that Jesus could grow, right? So he was a disciple, but he hadn't met Jesus yet. But what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Like I said, there are books and volumes on it. Basically, a disciple is a student. I don't know how many books you need to read to understand that. A disciple is a student, a follower. And I like the short version. And being a student and a follower, what does that kind of mean, you know? Well, if you're a student, you learn. If you're a follower, you follow. And Jesus told Peter, come and follow me. He told the tax collector, come follow me. He told people to come follow him. That's what he said, follow me. So if you remember anything else today, remember follow me. Jesus said, not me, but Jesus. Don't follow me. We're going home to watch football. All right? Don't follow me. Disciple sounds like a very religious word. You know, it's just one of those words that if you said at school, I work in a church, so I get away with saying disciple and using all those words, and nobody thinks I'm weird because we all work in a church. But if you work like, I don't know, in a garage and you're fixing a car and you say to the guy next to you, hey, are you a disciple? Disciple of what? What's a disciple? You know, Jim, I understand, was preaching on the parables, right? The parables. What'd you think of that parable on Sunday? Who understands parables anyway? Disciples understand parables. Why? Because they follow. Now, Jesus said before he died, there were the 11 disciples, it says. Let's go to Matthew 28, if you like, and you can look with me. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. This was, of course, after Jesus had died on the cross, and he was being resurrected into heaven and being ascended into heaven. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is the teacher. This is who's teaching us. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. This is who we're following. This is our teacher. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's 11 of them. Go and make disciples of all nations. What does he want them to do? He wants them to make disciples. He wants to make more students. He wants to make more followers. That's what he wants. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what about this baptism? Why are we baptizing? It sets apart. It puts us in Christ. It's what makes us, he says, that's part of following. We're following his instruction. We're following his command. We are doing what it takes to be in Christ, to be in saved, to be saved, to be followed. How many times do I hear people tell me, oh, you're with the Church of Christ. You believe you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Well, yeah, that's what it says. And I read it. It's in God's Word. Well, I read, well, what book were you reading? There's a lot of books, and they have workbooks, and you have studies on them. But in the Bible, here's what it says. This is what you do with disciples. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You make them gods. You make them part of Jesus. You go down, you die to yourself, you come up, you're born again in Christ. You're a new person. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus' last command was to go and make disciples. So being a disciple is very important. We call ourselves, we call ourselves Christians. Right? We have a lot of Christians out there. I hear about them on TV. Christians. I hear about them in the newspaper. Those Christians. Those Christians, they hate gays. Those Christians, they hate this. Those Christians, they hate that. That's what they say about us. We don't hate anything. We hate sin. Jesus, when he first started the movement, nobody was called a Christian. Jesus didn't say you're going to be called. Call them disciples. So are we disciples? You know, when I hear things about Christians, I think, well, I'm a Christian and I don't feel that way, so I don't have to believe it. You know, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true, by the way. Did you know that? So listen to this. This is great. Somewhere, I think it was China or Russia, I don't know, it was another country, they had this egg. It was a dinosaur egg that they were saving in a museum. And I guess it was like thousands of years old. This was on the internet, I'm telling you. And this egg hatched. And there was this little dinosaur. And they've kept it alive in some zoo, in either China or Russia, whichever one it is. But they have to keep it out of the light, and they have to keep it away from people. So they have it there. And I'm supposed to take their word for it. So that really, they got this dinosaur. It's great. Maybe they're going to start a new Jurassic Park movie on this dinosaur egg. That's crazy. You know, it's insane. They got pictures of all kinds of things on the internet. What's true? What's not true? What's true is here. Jesus said, go and make disciples among the world. I love the story about Mary and Martha. Speaking of disciples. In Luke 10, 38 through 42, that's Luke 10, 38 through 42, it says, at the home of Martha and Mary, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. We know that Martha is Lazarus' brother, right? Okay, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And so, Mary and Martha, she came, and a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet. Now, they loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. They were good friends. And he said, so Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. So Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. What would you call Mary? A disciple. because she's a student. When Jesus spoke, she sat right at his feet. Right? That's where she sat, right at his feet. And what was she doing? She was listening. She was paying attention to what he said, whatever that was that he said. Now, on Sundays, we come together to worship, and we share, hopefully, the Word of God from here. And Steve, our preacher in Melbourne, is doing his very best to share a message that he got from God's Word. And I tell you, one little kid called me the walking around guy. I'm the guy that makes sure we have all our ushers, because we need like 12 now. 12 ushers, 6 servers, 6 ushers. And then we need a prayer, a communion guy, and a reader. So I have them all in place because I make the schedule. But they don't all come, right, Scott? I saw you run up here. And I don't know if the closing prayer guy's here either. So keep your eye on that. And so I get them all in place. Now I'm in the back. And sometimes I'm in the back. And there are people sitting back there while Steve is talking. And they're texting. They're texting. They're checking. Maybe it's a good time to check the football score. It started about 9:30. I better check that out. And people check that out. And people are checking things out. I have a friend named Kevin. And Kevin is an AA member like me. And we were at a meeting. And Kevin was the speaker. He spoke for 45 minutes. And I'm from New York. I don't know if you could tell. But my friend Kevin says, you know what I mean, a lot. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I was reading this book, you know what I mean? And my mother asked me what I was reading, you know what I mean? And that's just what Kevin says, a lot. And so this guy, and Kevin speaks a lot, because people like his talk, but he says, you know what I mean, a lot. And this guy said, comes up to him after the meeting, and he says, you know, Kevin, I was counting while you were speaking. And you said, you know what I mean, 54 times. And Kevin said, oh, wow, that's a lot. He said, why do you say you know what I mean a lot? He said, let me tell you. He said, because I say you know what I mean a lot because what I have to say is really important, and I want to make sure you know what I mean. So when Steve is preaching or Jim is preaching or somebody's preaching, what they have to say is very important. And they want to make sure you know what they mean. They're just not from New York and say, you know what I mean a lot. You know? But it's really important to hear that. If I'm sitting and I'm texting, I can't hear it. I'm not paying attention. I have a few minutes on a Sunday. We get about 20 minutes to preach, Jim, up here? About 20 minutes. It's about what Steve... 20 minutes to hear what God... Do I have 20 minutes on a Sunday to listen to the Word of God, to listen, to be a student, to be a follower? 20 minutes? Do I have that time to share, to hear what they got to say? Or am I checking scores? Am I texting? What am I doing? What's going on in life? Back to this story. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to what he had to say. Can you think of anything more important? Can you think of anything more important? If Jesus were to come here today, imagine, we know that Jesus is making a guest appearance here today, and he's going to sit right here, and he's going to share a story with you, with me. Am I going to be in the kitchen getting ready for lunch, or am I going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus? Well, Martha was getting ready for lunch. I wish Jesus said, Jesus is not from New York. I wish Jesus would have said something like, hey, did you hear about the, those two fish and those couple of loaves of bread, what I did with that? You think I really need you to get lunch ready? I can make a few quarter pounders if we need them. You know, we could have lunch. I could put out a buffet. You know, just put a loaf of bread in front of me. He didn't say any of that. But Mary was doing what needed to be done. Mary was being the student. Mary was being the follower. When I think about that, I think, what are the distractions? Am I sitting at the feet of Jesus during the week? Am I a disciple during the week, or just that 20 minutes I've allotted to listen to Steve or to Jim? Am I listening? Am I actually opening my Bible to see the Word of God during the week? I told you this before, and I'll tell you again. When Pat Seaman came to my house, and I wasn't sure what was going on with this whole following Jesus thing, he opened up a Bible, and he said, let's see what God has to say. And that's where I saw at that moment, if I want to know what God has to say, I only have to look at the book. I don't have to sit here and go, oh God, please tell me what I should do. And then try to figure out, well, is that what I'm supposed to do? Or, I could do that till the cows come home. Okay? No, here, I open that book. I read it, not the whole thing, all at once, but I read the Bible and I meditate on it. And I let the Holy Spirit do His work. I let Him work inside me. I ask Him to work inside. I spend time with it. I would love to say I do that every single day. But there are distractions out there. There is work. There is people's problems. There is all kinds of things. Am I showing other people how to be disciples? I thought about not too long ago, the elders asked the ministers and the deacons to come to a meeting. So I went to the meeting. I hate meetings. I went to the meeting and I sat and they said, how do you suppose we could get people to come to church on Sunday? Other people. I was like, okay, you could ask them. But how do we ask them? Anybody see the movie The War Room? What a great movie. I never saw it. The War Room. All right, but you liked it. Everybody liked it. And how many people did you tell about it? How many people did you bring to it? How many people did you send to that movie? How many people did you send here today? There you go. He sent him. But I think of a movie like The War Room, or Star Wars is coming back, right? Right? Who likes Star Wars? Who's the Star Wars people? Love Star Wars, right? Star Wars is coming back. I was stationed in Hawaii in 1976, and they had this movie theater. And I'm telling you, every day for like a year, they played Star Wars. We used to call it Star Wars Theater. But people would talk about, you have to see Star Wars. And people would go see Star Wars in droves. And we would tell people, go there. You know, we have some new restaurants down 192. Have you been to the new BJ's Food Factory, whatever it's called? They have some really good stuff. And then we have Red Robin. We'd send you there. They got this big cone onion rings. There's a lot of good stuff there. So I'll send you there, but will I send you to church? You know what we do on Sunday? We worship God. We worship God. We're saved. Talked about grace. If it wasn't for grace, I wouldn't be here. We have a sign on our church, and it says, I love this sign. It says, will anybody go to heaven because of you? And I asked Steve the other day, I said, so Steve, what do you think about that sign outside? Well, I don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. I'm like, am I really responsible to send people to heaven? I mean, am I responsible for getting people in heaven? Only you can do that through Jesus Christ. I can lead you to Jesus Christ. Then it's on you and Jesus Christ. I cannot get people to go to heaven. If I could do that, I'd write a book, another book. But I would write that book, How to get people to heaven without Jesus. We need to get people to Jesus. We need to get people here. We need to get people to the Bible. That's making disciples. I need to get people to see that following Jesus is the way to go. I need to get people to see that being a student and being a follower of Jesus is the life. I enjoy that life, so I do talk about it with other people. I go to a cigar store. They're tired of hearing it. But I keep telling it. You know? And now when they say, they're afraid to say, let's pray for somebody. You know, we ought to pray for Lenny. I said, all right, let's do it. Now. And I start praying right there. Now, it's not to freak people out. I did it in genuine. I'm genuine. They want to pray for somebody, I'll pray for them. Let's do it right here at the cigar store. Let's do it right where we are. So, I could go on about this for days, but I see people texting and going to sleep. I don't know what time we really end, but I just wanted to share those thoughts on discipleship. If you want to read the books, there's lots of them out there on discipleship and what a disciple is. But a student and a follower. Someone who follows Jesus. So when Jesus says, follow me, he also is saying, do what I do. He's saying, follow my steps. Take this narrow path. If you were in a jungle and you were lost and there was a guide and he said, take the same steps I take, you would do that because it's kind of scary. Jesus is saying, take the steps I take. Do the best you can. Judas was a disciple. He didn't do so well. Peter, he denied Jesus. Right? Thomas, he didn't believe Jesus. He had to show him. None of us are going to be perfect. We just do the very best we can. So let me close with a prayer on that. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come here and share your word. We come here to praise you, to share in the communion. We come here to give back part of what you've given us. We just come here to be your disciple, to be your follower, to be your student, to learn as much as we can, to follow you as much as we can. Father, let us remember that when we leave here today, when we pull out of this parking lot, that we're entering the mission field, that that's where our work needs to start and needs to continue. And Father, thank you for everything that's been prepared in our food. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.